Everybody believes that tonight. I know Jesus never fails. Yes, Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail because Jesus. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Nice to be back here for the midweek service. Anybody getting any rain? Yes? No? Maybe? We're just getting teased over at our house. Here and there, there. You're getting rain? Yeah. 2 inches. Wow. I think we've got maybe a tenth of an inch the whole time. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Are you happy?
Yes.
Glad to be here tonight. Well, tonight we have a guest minister, a brother Chris Cathy, who's visiting from New Albany, Indiana. He attends Nathan Bryant's church in New Albany. And, of course, he already got introduced to his wife. And so we're glad to have Rachel, Isaac, and Joseph with us tonight. God bless you. Give him a hand clap. So Chris and I have actually never physically met. We've corresponded back and forth a few times, I think, over the last few years. But for whatever reason, we're just kind of ships passing in the wind. But he told us that he was going to be in the area. And we said, well, we'd love to have you minister for us. So we're going to invite him to come and share whatever the Lord's put on his heart here tonight. And I'll tell you what, we're a privileged people. Amen. We're a blessed people, aren't we? Amen. To know him, to be in a relationship with him, to have the truth, to not be not be eaten out of a garbage can, or I still remember what it was like to try to find a little bit of truth. And it was so subjective, and everybody was okay with that, even within our Baptist church that we went to. There were lots of different opinions, and everybody was okay with it. I was never okay with that. I thought, well, if there should be one truth, and we ought to know what that is, right? And yet we've got this one thinks this and that one thinks that. Nice people. Nothing against anybody. That isn't the point. The point is we just, didn't have a whole lot of truth. And yet there was something deep down on the inside that was desiring that truth. Desiring to know him personally, not know about him, and not to have a Baptist description of him or a Methodist or a Presbyterian, but to know the God of the Bible. So I've never taken that for granted, and I trust that you're not taking it for granted. To know him is to love him. Amen. How many can say that tonight? I love the Lord Jesus. Why don't you just say that tonight? I love the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Well, we're going to invite our brother to just come take his liberty, and we will sing as our brother comes out tonight. He counts the stars. If you wouldn't mind standing again. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move. My name. can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that
once more tonight. He knows my name. Before the bride tonight. You know, I just glad he knows our name. I'm glad he called us from the foundation of the world. He's called me, he's called you. He knows our name. How beautiful is that? What a beautiful picture. You know, God saw us for the foundation of the world. You know, you ride through and you drive and you see all these churches and see, you know, they're just buildings, but you come to one place and you see the bride of Christ all assembled together. How blessed we are. Amen. How blessed we are to know the truth. Amen. And it sets us free tonight. It sets us free. God bless you, Brother Baker. It's just an honor to be here and, you know, just honor to be in his presence. May God bless you tonight and God bless you, musicians. We're going to turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel tonight. I just feel led to speak on this a little bit tonight. And most of all, just let's go before the throne. 1 Samuel 16. Father, we love you. Father, we're just honored to be in your presence tonight. Father, we're just so honored to be called your sons and daughters. Father, from the foundation of the world, it's just your mercy and grace that's chose us, Lord. But even your prophet said there was better people, but Father, you found grace tonight in your sight. Amen. And we're so thankful for that. And Father, as you just come down tonight, may you speak to us. May we get out of the way, Lord. God, may we go in your channel, Lord. May you come down our aisle tonight and speak to us, Lord. We love you. We give you this service, Lord. Forgive us of our failures, our shortcomings. But Father, we come in the house to clean all shortcomings, Father. We come to your feet tonight. We love you. Bless this church. Bless your pastor, Lord, that's been serving so long for you, Lord. Refill us tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Just 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. I feel like the Lord is just leading me down this path and really praying what the Lord has led on my heart. It says, And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. You may be seated. May God bless his blessings. I want to speak a little bit tonight. You know, here in 1 Samuel 16, you know, here is Jesse. You got, you know, Samuel is looking for God's king. He's trying to anoint God's king. Right. And he's out here. He's got all these children come before him. He's out here looking for him. He said he's not stopping until he finds God's king. He's going to anoint God's king. And I believe that's the day and hour we're living in. I believe we're living in an hour that the bride cannot sit down. I believe there's a work to do. It's not a work to talk about one another. It's not a work to find differences in one another. As this shows faith all the way up to love is the capstone. I believe that Brother Bram says, he even says, without perfect love, we will not enter. And I believe that tonight. I believe it's going to take perfect love. And that's being in his presence more. That's praying more. That's, you know, asking God to take bitterness from you. He even says if you can't bitterly disagree with one another, we need to be back at the altar praying tonight. I believe that tonight. I believe the word of God. I believe this message with all my heart. Came from a broke up home, but God mended it back together. Gave me a wonderful, wonderful wife that loves the Lord. And I'm blessed. I'm a blessed man tonight. Some of us now might not be that way, but I'm blessed. And I'm so blessed to see the message most of all. You know, I came from a broken home and, you know, from my dad that still he'll call me today and say, son, do you still believe what you know, he said, you went way off in the deep end. I said, Dad, I love this message more than I ever loved it. I said, I'm so thankful that we have a truth in our day. I'm so glad that God came to your house one day and gave you the truth in the eye salve, applied it to your eyes tonight, and we have something to be happy about tonight. We have something to get out of the bed in the mornings, and whenever we get out of the bed, we should be the happiest people this morning. Not a frown on our face and down and out, but there's a mission that he's gave every one of us tonight, and that's to look for God's king. And I believe he's called a bride out of denominations and out of these churches, not just to sit around, but to help one another, to serve one another today, to help your pastor today, not just to sit somewhere and say, hey, where can I find criticism? Brother Bram says, hey, if you come looking for it, you'll find it tonight. If you come to hear from the Lord, you'll find that tonight. But I believe we're commissioned to be looking for God's king. And I believe we're so close that we should be on a mission looking every single day. And that he says that 6 to 9 hour, I tell you, I want to get up early. Just keep saying, Lord, when are you coming? What day are you coming? When are you coming? That's got to be in our heart tonight, that we got to realize that we know the Lord's coming. And we know it's near, but are you ready for it? Are we ready for the coming of the Lord? It says in Revelation 19, the bride has made herself ready. It takes preparation to get ready for a wedding today. We're going to a wedding on Saturday. They prepared for the final wedding, but it takes preparation. And I believe that's what we're doing tonight. We come to the house of God when we have service. It prepares our lives. And it's not just on Wednesday and Sunday. It's a daily walk. It's a daily battle today. And you know, the battle scars that you might have today, it hurt, and you go through trials and tribulations, but they're for testing your trials today. Every trial is more precious than gold tonight. And we need to just say, thank you, Lord, for everything that you brought me through, every trial that you gave me, but I'm still pressing to see the king tonight. And we gotta believe that tonight, that we're not on a picnic, but we're on a battlefield. And it's not an easy walk, and we hear this, but I tell you, to drown out the noise tonight, stop listening to all the noise. Listen to the word. Listen to what the prophet has said. He's brought a glorious message. He dovetails right into the Bible. How thankful we should be. But Samuel was on a mission to anoint God's king. And I love what he says, for we will not sit down till he come hither. So there's not a place that we should rust out, burn out, or just, you know, we see this little nail. We were, Brother Isaac, and we were out there and we saw some artificial turf because I guess, you know, Arizona don't have much grass and, you know, everything's just hot. I tell you, we're from South Carolina. We lived in Indiana for 8 years, and I'm like, man, we got grass and trees, and they got just dirt everywhere. But it's still beautiful, and it's on site. You know, there's varieties all around, and God has beautiful bride tonight. No matter what shape, whatever size, no matter what your age is tonight, I was walking through a trail and I said, Lord, look at this. Beautiful scenery. And God's perfectly made you tonight. He shaped you. He's made you into a beautiful child of God tonight. And if you haven't received that yet, young kids or you older, whoever, I encourage you to get in the water tonight. I encourage you to taste and see God is good. And he sent a prophet in our day to turn our hearts back. And I'm so glad he's turned our hearts back tonight. Brother Bram said, I'd rather be a little over jealous about the Father's kingdom than to have no zeal at all. He said, I'd rather overwork. He said, and as a Church of Christ preacher told me some time ago, he said, I'd rather wear out than rust out. He said, and that's a lot of truth. I'd rather wear out and die in the harness, as Brother Neville said, than to refuse to have the harness on. He says, you can't do anything worse than to neglect to try. He said, let's all do all we can with what you have to do with, and the Holy Spirit, our tutor, will bring it to the Father. Aren't you glad that if you have the Holy Spirit tonight, he said, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to the Father. That's spiritual adoption, 1956. I like Luke 19:13. It talks about, it says, occupy till I come. Another word, get busy. Another word, stop talking about one another. Another word, stop hating on your brother and sister tonight. But say, hey, I'm here for you. Brother Bram says, when they're in the gutter, pick them up. Pick them up tonight. Oh, write them a letter, write them a note. Hey, call them, pick them up, bring them somewhere. Say, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm trusting the Lord will deliver you from this situation. Right. Oh, we're in the same battle. And I was in the military for 8 years, and I was thinking about this today, and Brother Bram says we should know the attacks of the enemy. Yeah. We should know his attacks. We should know, but you know what? To know his attack, you got to be in the Word of God. Right. You got to know from Genesis to Revelation what the attacks are coming for. And how he attacked them, he's going to attack you. And more so as the day's approaching, we need to be in the house of God. Hey, I love streaming, and it's a good place that when you're sick or in your bed, but it ain't nothing like coming in the house of God tonight. I tell you what, the devil has put it in your house tonight. Hey, I don't know where I'm going tonight, brother, but he's put it in our house tonight. And we have it convenience. This ain't Burger King. This ain't McDonald's anymore. This is the Holy Spirit that's changing lives tonight. He's shaping you. He's molding me. He's molding you tonight. And sitting in your pajamas at home don't work. It don't work. It don't work. If you're sick, praise God. God bless you if you're streaming tonight. But if you can make it, I would try every effort to come to the house of God. Every time we're on vacation, I'm not saying you do this, but every time I go on vacation, I say, honey, let's go on vacation where we can go get a loaf of bread somewhere. Let's go hear the Word of God this morning. Let's get up, boys. Let's go to the house of God because Daddy needs it more. And you know, you hear so many complaints, well, they hurt my feelings. Well, you know what? Have you ever been to Walmart? You ever been to Walmart? You ever been to Target? Hey, this funny thing is, the register people will hurt your feelings, but when the pastor or somebody steps on your toes, I'm not going back. But then I still see people going to Walmart. I still see people going to Target. I tell you what, we should come to the house of God if it hurts, if it feels good, if whatever it is, Lord, I come to hear your word tonight, and I want it to change my life. I want it to shape me. I want it to mold me into the person that I want to be for you. Acts 1, I was thinking about this, verse 7 through 8. He says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judah and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So he's called us for a duty tonight. He's called every one of us not to just to sit around. He's called us to keep pressing on until we see God's king. And I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep sharing the word of God, sharing this message. But I tell you what, we got too much baggage we're carrying around sometimes. That's like we were at the airport, and I always think about it. I tell you what, we got delayed, and the next minute the wing's damaged, and I said, "It's okay, boys. It's meant to happen. We'll just go wherever." I mean, God already knew from the foundation of the world the wing would be damaged, but it didn't feel so good when you get to the airport and you're carrying your luggage and you put it up there and you're trying to wish, pray, "Lord, don't let it be over 50 pounds because I don't want to pay extra." Did you know God paid all the price for your sins tonight? No matter what it weighs, no matter where it goes, it could be 50 pounds tonight, 100 pounds. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you give it to God and stop carrying your baggage around and just drop it off at the feet of Jesus, He said, I'll put it in the sea of forgetfulness tonight. That's the God we serve tonight. What a mighty God. That, think about it. He can know every action. He knows before you make your decisions tonight. He's all-knowing, but He's so all-knowing tonight that He can forget about your sin. What a mighty God. That's bigger than my mind tonight. That He can remember, He can see everything in your life, but you can bring it to the Father, and He can put in the sea forgetfulness. Oh, praise God. Praise God. But doesn't it feel good when you get up to the airport and you get to release your baggage? And you sit it on the belt and they go, "Oh, we're going to put a heavy sticker on that." I said, praise God. Kick the sin on the belt. Kick it on the belt tonight. But the problem is we carry it around like Amazon tonight. We treat the devil like it's Amazon. You know, UPS, they used to make you sign for it. Maybe I'm trying to tell my age a little bit, but they used to make you sign for it. You know, Amazon, they just put it on your doorstep and don't ask who you are. That's how the devil is tonight. He's putting packages on your life. He's putting packages on your doorsteps, and you're accepting it tonight. And Brother Bram says, kick it out the door. Don't accept the devil's lies. Don't accept. If you come with depression tonight, I ask to challenge you tonight to kick it out the door. Kick it out the door and say, "Lord, I'm getting healed tonight." Oh, I tell you, this, the faith is the problem. Oh, ye a little faith. We should be have the biggest faith in this message tonight. We should be a lot farther along than we are. But we're bickering and we're complaining and we don't have this and we don't have this car. I tell you what, just thank the Lord that you're alive today. Go to the hospital and walk through the doors where my wife used to work, and it'll make you be blessed tonight. When you go to the nursing home where my father-in-law is, and you see him with the dementia, they don't know who you are. They don't. But you know what? Every time I walk in that nursing home, he says, "Brother Chris," he said, "isn't this message glorious?" That's about all he remembers. He just says, "This message is the best thing that ever happened to me." And I say, "Lord, if I ever get that age, I start to forget. Never let me forget the Word of God. Never let me forget this message." And he said, "Brother, I was walking down the hall the other day. I started telling about the Word of God. I started telling about the message. And it just blessed my heart." Because he's like, "Hey, my work is not done and your work is not done until the King shows up." Brother Bram says in one place, he said, we would get to the marriage supper. He said, we'd have our battle scars. And he said, the King would walk through there and wipe your tears and say, the battle's over. But the battle's not, we're still in a testing ground. We're in a testing stone time. But I tell you, it's time to put away the baggage, put the things of the world to the side and say, "Lord, whatever I go through is for my good." Brother Bram said, he also said a place, he said, you know what, he has confidence. Brother Bram says this, he says he has confidence in you tonight. That's why you're going through these trials, because the Son of God has confidence in you. Oh, and I read that quote, I said, praise God, he must have a lot of confidence. Felt like I'm going through every day another trial. But I said, "Lord, it's worth it all. I bear the reproach of the cross. I bear the reproach of the message. And I'll still proclaim it all my life." But our job is not to sit down. I say, hey, keep telling till He comes. Keep fighting till He comes. Keep singing till He comes. Keep preaching till He comes. I tell you, they come in the message started trying to take that away now. I don't know. It's crazy. But my Bible says, like Billy Graham would always say, the Bible says. I tell you, we need to get back to saying, the Bible says, the Bible says. You know what? He didn't rip it out of Ephesians 4, and I'm keeping it in there. Not just because I'm speaking tonight, but it's the truth tonight. The prophet said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Brother Branham said, this is not a picnic ground, this is a battlefield. He said, not a place where we lay back. Now, Lord, we just come force it right in me and then I'll do it. No, no. He said, he don't do it that way. God never did it that way. The Angel of the Covenant, 1954. Brother Branham says, remember, we're not on a picnic, but we're in a battlefield. Remember, people, just think that they become a Christian, that's all they need to do. And he said, that settles it forever. As they are a Christian and everything's going to become easy. He said, don't ever get in that your head. For I become a Christian to fight. He said, fight the good fight of faith. I become a Christian to get in the battle lines. He said, we're a Christian soldiers and we got to be trained and brought up. And we know all the techniques of the enemy. To know how to fortify, to know how to fight the fight. And we can only do that as the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. He said, we cannot take what some other nation tells us to do or go to war, some other ideas. But we got to take our own ideas the way the Holy Spirit would direct us. And he says, and what ideas we would give us, because he is the commanding chief of the army of the Christians tonight. Amen. And I tell you, what better chief would you rather be under tonight than the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? When he says, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Or you need a loved one to come to the Lord. I should tell you today, hey, claim your inheritance tonight. I'm tired of the devil coming up here every time we'll be in service after service. I want this, I want that. And they keep asking. I say, no, sister, the Bible says you can have that. Brother Branham even said, for the ones you loved and loved you, I'm not telling you that tonight to lay back and sit back and say, well, I guess everybody loves me and this. Well, they'll be there. No, you've got a work to do. And that's to get in the battle lines and to get beside Brother Baker tonight and say, brother, I support you. We're going to keep serving together and we're going to keep serving God with all our heart. We have a work to do tonight. And that's just not for the song leaders. That's for laity alike tonight. Brother Bram says, the Christian doesn't ask for easy things. He said, there's so much promises they made among Christian people. So many ministers promised the people a false thing. He said, if you'll just come to Christ, all your troubles is settled. I tell you, when you come to try Christ, they begin. He said, that's when you put in uniform and take a gun and enter the battlefield. He said, this Christian road is not a flower bed of ease. It's a battle from the very hour you start. He said, until your spirit is set free by death, you are not at no picnic. You are on a battlegrounds. And so we are promised things, the true Easter seal, 1961. I love that because it truly is. It's a battle every day. But it's a worthy battle to be in today. I tell you, when I joined the military, you know, I joined it for the GI Bill we were talking about there. And I'll tell you, I joined it for school. But I tell you, when they call you up real quick, you realize this is more than just paying for my college. You realize real quick that, whoa, I didn't sign up for that part. I signed to pay for college. But, whoa, I didn't sign up for the war. But you know what? When you become a rugged Christian of this truth and this message, you bear the reproach. People know your lives. Satan knows how to attack you. Brother Bram said, you've got to cover up that very spot tonight that he keeps coming after you. You know what spot you got tonight, and it's time to cover it up. And stop exposing it to the devil. If you had a problem with bar rooms, you stay away from the bar rooms. If you had problems with websites, stay off the websites. I'm tired of the devil's playing tricks on us. So many tricks on us, but we just need to cover it up tonight. And say, Lord, cleanse my eyes. Take it away from me tonight. But I was in the military and I was thinking about, man, you know, signing up, they said you got to go to war. But the greatest thing we could ever be is a Christian. And God's army. All this stuff's going to burn up. I tell you, we'd have to learn the planes. I was 14 Sierra in Fort Bliss, Texas, which was air defense. And we had to learn every single plane, every test. We had to learn the belly. We had to learn the wing structure. Because all these other planes had markings on them that looked just like us. Think about it tonight. There's people out here that try. Hey, they might have a long skirt on tonight. They might not even have earrings and have the ABCs tonight. And they call themselves Christian. A form of godliness. A form of godliness. But it's more than that. It's more than that. It's falling in love with the author tonight. It's saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me from Genesis to Revelation. Whatever you tell me, I will cleanse it tonight. If I got a problem with this, Lord, I'll kick it out of my house. If I got this in my house, I'll go clean house time tonight. Oh, that's, it's time to do that tonight. Because Samuel was looking for a king to anoint God's king, and we're looking for the main commander-in-chief. And I believe he's coming close. I like what the songwriter said. He said, I'm pressing up the onward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on solid ground. And I like verse 12. He says, and it sent him forth in 1 Samuel 16. And he sent him forth. You know, all his sons came before him. And he says, and he sent him forth him, and now he was a ruddy and little and beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So it might not be what you look like tonight. Young kids in school, wherever you're at today, don't let someone tell you you're not God's child tonight. Don't let them tell you. Don't let the devil tell you a bunch of lies tonight. Or don't tell you, well, I'm not going to go to church because I did this or I did. You know, this is the best place to be. This is the best place to be among believers tonight and among the presence of God. He said in Moses, all his training and all his bringing up, he said 5 minutes in the presence of God changed all his ministry. Didn't matter who he sat behind, Gamaliel, didn't matter who he was under, his mother, but 5 minutes in the presence of God. Oh, I say, Lord, every time I come to church, I say, give me just a couple minutes in your presence, Lord. Change my life. Take everything that's bad about me, take it out. But he was ruddy. And I like what Saul said in chapter 17, verse 25. Saul even told him, he said, he was looking, here he is, and he says, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely defile. He's talking about Goliath. And he's like, hey, he says, and I will give his daughter to make his father's house free in Israel. He said, hey, I'll give you my bride if you take out Goliath. I'll give you my bride. You know, the Lord's coming back for a bride tonight. He's got a bride on the earth. And all this chaos and all this government mess. And we get caught up in this and we get caught up in this mess. And caught up in, well, you know what? You're not going to change it. You're not going to change it. It's already destructive. It's already a mess. It's already heading to where it's supposed to be from. I mean, we're 1 second away from calling a lady in president. Think about it. One minute he's got COVID, next minute he's got this and this, but we're one second away from having a lady step in. Right. Hey, I'm not just telling you, like, tell you what's, I know it all or whatever, but I'm just telling you, we're one minute away from a woman taking over. Could be Catholic, could be U.S., we don't know. But I tell you, we're just so close. We're so close. And I want to hear, just encourage you not to sit down on God. Don't put it in cruise control. They used to say, put the pedal to the metal. I say, put it to the metal. He's coming after your house. He said, I come to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take it. The devil wants to take everything you got. But I tell you here, I would say, get behind me, Satan. I claim every right, possession. I would walk tonight and say, Lord, everything that I want, you go claim it tonight. You claim your family members. You claim your loved ones. It might be the only person that gets in because of you tonight. And I'm telling you, what a grace of God. Tonight, I might have a father that says this or says that. I say, Dad, don't talk about it too much. I say, Lord, Dad, I'll just pray for you. I'll just love on you because the capstone is love. And I say, Dad, I still love you with all my heart. No matter you brought up in a broke up home, but God called me out one day and he's called you out today, and there's something to be happy about. There's something to put a smile on your face and say, Lord, I'm so thankful I've been set free. Oh, that song, He Set Me Free. I love that song because it makes me think about how he set me free. And how he set you free tonight. And I believe when he was on the cross, he got a glimpse of me and you tonight. And he saw from time over time. And he saw you sitting here tonight saying, I got some children tonight that's not going to give up till we anoint the main king. I believe we're like Samuel tonight. We got to run this blessed mile, full blessed sprint. We got to run it with all our heart. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We got to press forward this year. Don't sit back. There's sicknesses all over the land. Not saying there's not real viruses in this. But isn't it funny that you can get on an airplane and you can get in line? We've been all over the world. We travel more in COVID than we ever have. I don't know. They probably just thought, well, Chris is the craziest one to go, so we'll call him. Well, you know what? Hey, I'm going. If God calls, I'm going. If God calls you, he's called every one of us for a purpose. Every one of you for a purpose. Not just to sit in that pew and shake a head, but to do something for Jesus Christ. To share the love of Christ. To be a witness today. He's called every... But isn't it funny, you get to the airport and you get in line and you get there and they're like, well, you got to wear a mask, which is fine. You wear the mask. You get on there. But then you get in a sardine can and you're 2 inches apart from each other. And the air is circulating and you're breathing the same air. Isn't it funny? And one man one time was laying on my chest and I woke up and I said, I did like this to get him over. That's my wife. I'm like, hey, wake up. Wake up, you're way, not even close, 6 feet apart. You're like on my chest. But I tell you, the devil wants to do that way to you tonight. You came in with stuff on your chest. You came in stuff with baggage in your life. And I tell you, it's just time to release it tonight. Put it on the conveyor belt and let it go to where the hell where it came from. And say, Lord, I rebuke it. I'm tired of having it. I'm tired of claiming it. And I'm going to one destination tonight. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anything we cannot sit down on, we can't sit down on each other. We don't need to sit down on our purpose. Samuel had one purpose, and that was to anoint God's king. He had all Jesse's children come. He said, no, not this one, not that one. And finally, he found one that didn't look like a child of God. He didn't look, Brother Branham even talks about it. He says, hey, he didn't look like, you know, he wasn't boisterous. He was just ruddy, tending to the sheep. You know what? He wants a meek spirit tonight. He wants someone that loves Jesus Christ more than they love their wives, love my kids. I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than I love my family. That's where you got to get tonight. It's got to be a, Brother Bram says, it's got to be a walk with God alone. It truly does. I found my purpose. You got to find your purpose. Don't sit down on your purpose tonight. If you're a housewife, be the best housewife. If you're a preacher, be the best preacher. If you're a laity, whatever it is, if you're a Sunday school teacher, be the best Sunday school teacher. If you play the musicians, find your purpose and be the best song leader tonight. Whatever he's called you to be, hey, be the best at it. Be the best. Brother Bram said, you're not here just to be seen. He said, you wouldn't come in this rain and gather in a little place like this just to be seen. He said, you're here for one purpose. That's to find something good. And I pray that God will give each of you something real good that you'll never forget. Amen. Oh, this is my prayer tonight. He said, and I pray that God will give each of you something real good that you'll never forget. And each one of you Christians, may he rise your joy to him to cause you to serve him better than you ever served him in all your life. I said, Lord, when I heard that today, I said, Lord, I want to serve you better than I served you in all my life. I'm like, Lord, and Brother Bram's crying out. He said, Lord, I want to serve you better than I served you ever before. I said, Lord, that's my prayer. That's my heart. That was in Contending for the Faith, 1956. And he starts talking. I love this, what he says here. He talks about going out of his body, and he says, I was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. He says, let me go to this. He said, I saw men that had shaggy hair around his neck here running, grabbing me and saying, oh, darling brother. He said, what does this mean? He said, your people. He said, my people. He said, there couldn't be that many Branhams. They're millions. He said, they're your converts. He said, hallelujah, they're your converts. He said, they're the ones that, he said, you see the one standing here, the most beautiful woman I've ever seen? She was past 90 years old when you led her to God. So I don't care what age you are. It don't discriminate on age. What age, young, old, don't matter what it is. She was 90 years old when she came to God. He said, no matter, no wonder she's crying, my darling brother. He said, she'll never be old no more. She passed from that. She's in the splendor of youth. She's standing here. He said, she can't drink a cold drink of water, which I feel like I'm needing more than ever in the desert. He says, there's no tomorrow. This is going to be glorious one day. He said, no yesterday nor nothing. He said, we're in eternity now. He said, but some glorious day when the Son of God shall come and you will be judged according to the word you preached. He said, oh, brother, he said, will Paul have to bring his group? I said, I preached just exactly like Paul said it. I never diverted. He said, I never took it into any church creeds or anything else. I stayed the same. He said, and all these scream with one accord. We know that. He said, we're resting with assurance. He said, you will. He said, yes. He said, you will present us to him, and then we'll all go back to earth again and live forever. Oh my. He said, just then I started to come to. He said, I looked laying there on the bed and I see my old carcass here. He said, getting old and wrinkled and dried up and diseased up, afflicted. And he said, I seen my heads behind my head. And he says, oh, will I have to go back to that again? And he said, I kept hearing a voice. And I believe we're hearing that voice tonight that says, keep pressing on tonight. To keep pressing on. Don't give up. Don't sit down. But to keep pressing on. I got a mother that came to the message right before she passed away. And I told my wife, we were at the funeral home about 7 years ago. She passed away. And we came there and we were praying. And this white dove just come across and started walking right around where she was. And I looked up, never seen a white dove like that. I looked up and Rachel said, look. And we started singing. And the prettiest white dove just kept coming back and forth. And I said, Lord, thank you for a confirmation. She gave her heart to God. She came in the message. Let her hair start to grow out. And I tell you, she's in a better place. She's in a place that I'm striving for tonight. And you have a loved one there that would tell you the same thing tonight. If they could look through the portals of glory, they would all tell us all to keep pressing on. The reward is too great. You might go through trials and you feel like it's the end of the world, but I tell you tonight to give it all you got. Keep pressing forward to the mark, and it's coming a prize. And it's not about how quick you finish the race. I tell you, we all press in a race. You young people might have been in a race before and might have run, but I tell you what, just keep running steady. Amen. If you fall down, get back up. Amen. If you get scars and the devil puts you somewhere, whatever it is. You know, it's so funny. I saw someone the other day. It broke my heart. We were at church. Brother was at the tabernacle for only how many years and this and that. Really broke my heart because I started to realize that he just the devil wrecked him up on the side of the street somewhere, and he lost this, lost his family, lost this, and it broke my heart. Because I said, Lord, it don't matter how many quotes you know. Everybody carries a little message book, says I'm in the message per se. The devil knows all the quotes. He knows all the Bible, what the Bible says. He knows it's the truth today. And he gets there and tells you this and tells you that, and then all of a sudden he keeps you out of church. And before you know it, you're at home and you're streaming every service. I don't know why I'm going here tonight, but you start streaming every service. Well, this feels better than going there because there's not as much conviction. The pastor can't look me in the eyes and call out sin or can't call this out or call that out. But I can stay in this bed. And before you know it, you close the laptop and then you have a service maybe one time a week. The devil has just sold us a bunch of lies today, and I'm tired of it. We believe it's just such a glorious message that we got. And Brother Bram says, the Bible says, more so as the day's approaching. And I tell you, we got to trust the Bible with all our heart. This is our roadmap tonight. This is your roadmap tonight. Someone said, Chris, you got it all marked up. I said, because it's my battle. This is the instructions to get out of here. This is all I got. It's better than a love story. It's better than your novel book tonight. It's the best book you can get in tonight. Young kids, I don't care what age you are, get in the book. Get in this book. Do something for the Lord. Do something for the Lord. Samuel kept looking and kept looking, but I'm here to tell you, we're close to find God's king. Amen. We're close. We're right here at the end time. Amen. We're right here. He said, I always says, let me get to it. He said, my friend, you young people, he said, you know that we're going to leave? He said, you know that, but let me persuade you as a Christian brother. He said, one that loves you, except you are born again and the Spirit of God of love comes into your heart, you're certainly amiss that place. He said, let me ask you, if God has given favor between us, and you believe me, I'm honest, what happened? He said, I don't know. He said, but God in heaven, who's omnipresent, he said, and he's here now. When I leave this world, Heavenly Father, please let us rest in there until Jesus comes. He said, there'll be a reward enough. He said, that'll be a reward enough for me. If I could just rest at that place till I see him come. He said, then was revealed to me, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one awaiting. Aren't you thankful that the devil, you know what, Brother Bram says, we get down to the river, and all as far as the devil can take us is to the river, down to that one river of death. But after that, it's life. This ain't life. This is not life to me. I tell you, I'll be glorious one day when we step in that theophany. That's going to be life. That's going to be rejoicing today. I tell you, you're going to find me dancing like David danced, because I'm going to let it go. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm having a good time. There goes Chris again. Because I love Lord. I say, Lord, I just want to kneel at your feet, Lord. I want to wash your feet with my tears, Lord. He said we would see his nail-pierced hands, known by the scars in his nail-pierced hands. I said, Lord, thank you for doing it all. Amen. But not only all, you sent a prophet in our day. And we're bickering, complaining out here, saying this and saying that, and you know, getting involved in this and saying, hey, just love on one another. Amen. Just love on one another more than you ever have. See where that gets you today. Treat it with love. Love on one another with all your heart. And it'll get you a lot farther. Secondly, don't sit down on your prayers. I thought I wrote this down. Don't sit down on your prayer life. I think we got so relaxed sometimes. I'm not saying you got to go out there and pray for 10 hours. But you know what? Talk to God. Amen. Talk to the Father. He wants you to talk to him and him talk back to you. He wants us, no matter if you're in your car, you're on your job, don't sit down on your prayer life. Don't sit down on God. Talk to God like you love him. I tell you, if we treated our wives sometime like that, or our girlfriends, whatever it is, they wouldn't talk to us. But I tell you, we got a loving Father that has blessed us abundantly, more than your house, more than your bank account, more than your 401k. They talking about the Fed rates going up, whatever. I serve a God that put manna out of heaven. If he needs to feed you, he'll feed me today. And I believe God will come down. And if we dry up and we don't have this, God will give it to us. Amen. We just got to have faith in the Lord. Amen. Brother Bram said, oh, Father, I pray as your servant. The only way we realize that prayer changes things. Prayer changes a sinner to a Christian. Prayer changes a sick man into a well man. And I ask and join in prayer with this man that you heal this body. May he go off the platform happy, rejoicing in the name of Jesus. I thought about Luke 11. We turn to Luke 11 real quick tonight. Luke 11, talking about prayer. Don't sit down on your prayer life. I love what Jesus said. Verse 11, chapter 11. He said, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, look, the disciples could have asked Jesus for anything. Right. Think about it. They could have said, hey, how do you create the loaves and fishes where I don't have to go to Walmart no more? He could ask them anything they wanted. And all he asked them was, teach us to pray. He didn't say how to pray. He said just to pray. To pray. Hope you get that tonight, that we're not sitting down on our prayers. And he said, the Bible said, teach us to pray. And as you know, if you flip over He goes into the Lord's Prayer and then he tells them how to pray. When you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." There was a brother, there were some kids the other day that they were friends were hanging out with, the boys were, and they came to them. They were basically telling, "Hey, did you know I know this quote, this quote, this quote?" They couldn't even say the Lord's Prayer. They couldn't even say a scripture, but all they could say was a couple quotes. I say they got it backwards. I do. I believe they got it backwards. This is our absolute here. This Bible is your roadmap. It has to line up. The message has come to open our eyeballs, but you know what? You don't throw the Bible out the door. And you got these kids walking around and they don't even know anything of the Bible. I told my boys the other day, I said, "You're going to learn from Genesis to Revelation. You're going to learn this book more than you ever have. And then you're going to know why you believe what you believe. Not the other way around." And then when someone falls, or a pastor that you followed in this message that's followed the world that flies away, you don't go flying this way or that way. You have a solid base tonight. And you say, "Lord, I believe your word. You still said Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and you believe every word of it." And we don't get tossed and turned because we start following the man's ideas. And when things go wrong and they go this way, you stay with the Bible. You stay with the Bible tonight. I'm tired of seeing we travel and travel and travel and they get torn this way and torn this way. I said, "Get back." You know, Brother Bram saw him getting them out of line. I said, "Get back in line tonight." I said, "Get back in line. It's too close to the end time to be playing with the world, testing the world." Young kids, the devil will take you farther than you want to go, longer than you want to stay. He'll leave you wrecked up on the side of the road laughing at you. With a broke up family, a broke up home. And I tell you what, I was tested the other day from a family member. I'm just going to say it. They came up to me. They said, "Chris, you've been preaching this message for 8, 9 years now. Whatever it is, 8 years. He says, "Hey," they pulled me to the side. "You know, the devil loves to message to come up to you right in your vulnerable times." He pulled me to the side. Family member looked at me. He said, "Hey," he said, "you're a minister. Will you marry?" I said, "Did you agree with it? Did you as a husband, did you as a mother agree to that marriage?" "Well, maybe, no, kind of. Well, maybe, yeah." It's funny how we take it for our kids. I say, "Lord, I don't want to take up for them if they're not living in sin. I'll love them. I'll say, hey, they can come back in my house anytime, just like the Father did with you tonight and me." He said, "I'm just sitting here where I was, where you left me." Not saying throw them somewhere and say, "Hey, I'm done with you." But he tested me. The other day, he said, "Will you preach the wedding?" I said, "I'm going to pray about it." Prayed about it, come back out, prayed, read some quotes, prayed, read the word. And Brother Bram said, "I'm telling you this to young people tonight. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm here to tell you." He said, "Under no circumstance a believer should marry an unbeliever." I said, "There's my answer. No believer." And then it talks about in the Word of God, don't be unequally yoked. And I'm here to tell you, young people, don't get tied up in Satan's tricks and lies that it looks all pretty, like they become before Jesse, all different types of boys. Here they come. They look all great. They look muscular, but they wasn't God's king. And just like in your life, if they don't love this word more than they love you, then you need to break up right now. Because you know what? You'd rather have a broken heart right now than a broken home. You'd rather have a broken heart than a broken home. I grew up that way. We came at 7 years old. My family got divorced. And the best thing that could ever happen to me, my grandmother before the military, she handed me 2 message tapes. 85 years today. She's still alive. She said, "Son, take these 2 books with you. Jezebel Religion, while we're on the denomination." I lit them barracks up. I was in them barracks. And I tell you what, I lit it up. And I sure didn't have a whole lot of wisdom then, I'll just be honest. You cast your pearls before swine. I didn't. I'm just being honest. I was young. You know, you can be salty. You don't have to just go out here and say, "I'm a blessed believer." But you can love God with all your heart. And ever since I heard them tapes, that deep call to the deep, God came searching for me. And he did the same thing with you tonight. Don't let him tell your lies. Don't take the lies of the devil anymore. But I like what he says in this prayer, trying to move on. He says, I love what it says right here. Verse 6. For a friend of mine is in his journey, and it says, he's come to me, and I have nothing set before him. And informed within, he says, shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, thou, he will not rise and give me. He says, they will not rise. Verse 7. And he informed me, shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, thou will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. Yet, because of his importunity, he will rise and give me as many as needeth. I think that sometimes in our life, we don't get what we need because we don't have enough importunity. You know what importunity means? I looked it up. It's the point of annoyance. It's the point of annoyance. I believe sometimes we don't knock enough. We don't seek God enough. Ask and you shall receive. I think we do just say, hey, Lord, say a little prayer. And then you say, well, I don't believe it. Let your body obey your confession tonight. Let it obey it tonight. You're a son and daughter of God, and you got the Holy Ghost. Hey, every possession is yours tonight. Every possession is yours. And I thought about that. It says, because your importunity. You ever had someone, I don't know about you, but it's so funny when the kids, we have a basement at home. I don't know if there's many basements here, but we have a basement at home, and you'll be in the basement or you'll be in the bathroom, and it's a perfect time for your kids to go. I don't know about you, but you'll be on the phone. They will not talk all day when you get on the phone. And when you get on the phone, they come right in your room. But you know what? They get what they want. You go, what? And you answer them. Or you open the door and say, what do you want? It's because of their importunity. They kept knocking. They kept knocking. So I'm here to tell you tonight to keep knocking and asking the Lord. Say, Lord, I believe all your word. I believe your promises. And I'm knocking at the door. And I'm going to claim. And every footstep is possession tonight. We need to keep walking forward. Not look in the rearview mirror today. And stop looking. You know, the windshield's a lot bigger than your rearview mirror. You can see a lot clearer through that windshield tonight. Stop looking through the rearview mirror. If he's forgiven you of your sins, and isn't if don't let him bring it back up to you. Say, devil, get behind me. That's just like when Brother Branham's his child was there in the hospital. He said, you know, the devil got up. He came to the prophet, got right on his shoulder and said, hey, look what you did. Look what you believe. You're going to serve God now? Here he's dying. He said, hey, blessed be his name. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be his name. And he said, the sweetest presence come down. Changed his whole outlook. Because when you talk about God and when you start singing about God, his presence changes your atmosphere. It changes your home life. It changes everything about you. And when you're going through trials, just say, God, I need you more than ever. Talk to him like you never talked to him before. Start praising his name and see if that situation don't change. See if it don't change. So don't sit down on your prayers. And thirdly, don't sit down on one another. You know where I got that from? Back to 1 Samuel. I was thinking about that. If you turn back to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel said in verse 11, he says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. I love this. I caught this. He didn't say I. He said, for we will not sit down. Did you know if he would have sat down, everybody else would have sat down? And I'm here to tell you, fathers, mothers, you believe this message and tell your kids, I believe this and I believe that. They're watching their lives. We can say, oh, we believe this and believe that, but they're watching every move we make. Your loved ones, your kin folks, your friends. I've seen too many people sitting down on God. Saying, well, I'm not going to make it. I'm not this. And, oh, well, now they're saying this over here. And now they're saying they do away with the ministry. And now they're saying this. And you know what? Quit all the road noise. I say roll the windows up tonight. I say roll the noise up and get in the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about it. and line everything they say, I don't care where it's coming from, drown out the noise. But I'm here to tell you, we all need each other. And it said, for we will not sit down. That's not I. He didn't say I would sit down. He said we would not sit down. So I need you. You need me. We need one another. Amen. We're in a day and an hour that we need each other more than you ever thought you know one another. But we still can't fellowship with this church. We got. I tell you what. They said in Tucson there was like 50-something churches. Something. I was like, that's unbelievable. And we still can't fellowship with one another. It's sad. But you know what? I believe the true bride's going to get called out either way. The true bride, no matter what happens, you know what? You stay steady in the boat. You stay steady in the boat like Jesus was. He was in the hinder part of the ship. It says in the scripture, he was in the hinder part when the waves started to take. Just make sure Jesus is in your boat. I don't care what storm you brought tonight. Just make sure he's in your boat. He said he was in the hinder part. You know what's in the hinder part of them ships back in the day? It was the control tower. And I tell you what's in the control tower. If Jesus is not controlling every aspect of your life, he's not controlling your mouth, your eyes, your life, your home life. If he's not controlling every aspect of your life, we need to get a checkup tonight. And this is the best place for a checkup. Best place. I thought about the four leopards. They were sitting down. They sat down on God one day, 2 Kings 7. Brother Bram said, now look, as these lepers laid at the gate, they said, why do we sit here till we die? He said, if we go in the city, we're going to die. He said, if we stay here, we're going to die. As the physicians come, he says, but if we go down to the Samaritans, he said, they will kill us. We're just going to die anyhow. He said, if they save us, we'll live. He said, if they rose up and they went down to the camp and God rewarded their faith. He said, is that right? He said, they not only saved themselves, they saved a whole Samaria, and didn't they? He said, now they're not, he said, you're not invited tonight to go to the enemy's camp. You're invited to come to the Father's house where he's waiting for you. They made up in their life, hey, we're going to die sitting here or we're going to die, we might die going down. But either way, if we live, we die, we live, it doesn't matter. And I tell you, we got to get in our minds that we're not going to sit down on God. We're not going to sit down on our prayer life. We're not going to sit down on what God's called you to be. He's called you to be something. You serve him with all your heart. You say, Lord, I love you with everything that's within me. And they call you an oddball tonight. Just say, I love being an oddball. Just keep me, call me crazy, because that's what you might be. Brother Bam said, you're on the thin line of a razor blade anyway, a razor blade of insanity. I tell you what, it's the best thing I've ever happened to me. Amen. As they play something softly tonight, I thought about, you know, we've all come with broke up things in our lives, but don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil tell you that you're not a child of God. If you gave your heart and you've made everything right and you've been cleansed of it, you know what? Claim your possession tonight. Claim your possession. I'm tired of seeing people walk around this message with their head down. You know what? Raise it up. Raise it up. Say, Lord, thank you for the truth. You set me free. You set my family free. And I tell you, you called me out from this dark Laodicea world. And he came searching for you one day and you accepted it. Stop claiming what the devil's brought to your doorstep. Stop claiming it. I tell you, when I was growing up, they said, you know what? One testimony, I share this. Brother Bram talks about how God's light your candle. I'll never forget it. Mom, Dad had her, she was so in depression. I don't know why I'm sharing this tonight, but she was so tore up. And they were going to have an abortion. They went to the abortion clinic. They got to the abortion clinic. Mama said, it ain't going to happen. My dad said, yeah, it's going to happen. You're going to abort this one sitting up here today. They said he won't be able to talk. He won't be able to walk. You might as well not have him. I don't know why I'm saying this tonight, but I'm here. The devil wants to tell you a bunch of lies. I'm tired of hearing about it. And my mom got on her knees in the corner of that room and said, Dad, no matter if you beat me, no matter what you do, abusive father, whatever you do, I'm still having Chris. You know, they had me. I went through three or four years of speech therapy. Couldn't even speak. Couldn't even say my name. But when God gets involved, He lets you speak. If you got cancer tonight, He'll heal you of the cancer. You know, I'm tired of hearing the devil say, hey, you got this, and you got this baggage, and you got that. I'm sending a witness testimony today that said God still heals. God still lets you. When He says you're mute, you can't talk for 4 years of your life, you can barely say a word, and then one day God just touched me. My grandmother come over and said, boy, come here. Let me lay hands on you. And I tell you, within a couple years, I started able to speak. And I said one word after another. And then I started to just keep claiming it. I barely can still, there's some things in Scripture I can't even still say because the way my tongue is tied. There's things that I can't even read. I can read it on the Scripture, but I can barely say it. I have to practice it and read the Word of God. I believe He's called us all to read this Word of God. He's called us all to practice it. He's called all of us that we're all in a race. We're all in this battle together. Like 1 Thessalonians 3:8, for now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. Romans 14:8, for whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. No matter what happens to us, we're the Lord's. We're the Lord's. We get killed in a car wreck tonight, praise God. I'd rather be gone from this pest house. I say, Lord, you know my time. He ain't gonna pull your card until He's ready for you. So stop stressing. And I'm here to tell you, stay in the Word of God. Keep pressing on. Don't sit down. Don't sit down on the Lord. Everyone's got a work to do. And that's not to talk about one another. About this or that, or, oh, did you believe this person saying this now? Hey, just pray for them. Just pray for one another. You ever saw something, or you might have saw something differently than your brother, and then all of a sudden you go, hey, I didn't see it quite that way. You know what? It's a progression. As you study the Word of God, it's progression. But you know what? If you're not in the Word of God, you ain't getting no progression tonight. If you're not at the Lord's table tonight, and you're not feasting at this manna, I tell you what, we have such a glorious message. I came up in the Baptist church and was called out of it. And I'm thankful for God to give me eyes to see tonight. And you should be. You should wake up every morning with a smile on your face. No matter if you feel like you can't breathe sometimes, or you're going through out and out and your family's coming at you, just open the Scripture and say, greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. We got to start claiming our possession tonight. Every promise in this book is yours, and it's mine tonight if you'll just accept it. If you'll just accept it. It's all yours. He just said, come. Hey, come and dine. The master cloth, come and dine. May close our eyes tonight. Maybe someone in this place tonight said, Lord, I'm tired of fighting this battle with my flesh. Maybe someone just said, Lord, I need more of you. My hands are up. I say, Lord, I need more of you. Lord, I'm tired of just saying I believe a message. But Lord, I want to be the message. Lord, I want every fiber of my body to be a living witness in a tabernacle for you. Father, may you dwell in these tabernacles tonight. Father, as hands are raised, Lord, my hands are raised. Father, maybe something was said, Lord. Father, that just brought us closer to you. Help us to not look at the troubles of this life, but just count them more precious than gold. Father, bless your people tonight. Bless this church. Bless Brother Baker, Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. It says it will never go void. Father, we love you. God, we give you all the glory. God, we give you all the honor and praise, Lord. You're worthy of all our praise, Lord. God, how thankful we should be, Lord. You came knocking on our door. And we opened the door. Father, the hinges are on the inside. And Father, we opened that door, Lord, and you said, Lord, come and dine. Not just to come into our heart, but to come into every aspect of our life. May you come through our lives. If there's someone that's sick tonight, Father, may you make them well. Father, we love you, Father. We give you our whole lives. We love you in Jesus Christ's name. Worship him tonight. Baker comes.